Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levenstein, and welcome to episode 133 of Comic Timing. And we're just under the May wire as we record this. It is currently May 29th, so maybe this will be out before the end of the month of May. But if not, happy June. Happy June, Brent Cassino.
Happy June, Ian Levenstein.
What's going on, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. Sipping on a Newcastle Founders Ale tonight.
I thought you were going to go with the whole gin and juice thing.
Do I really seem like a gin and juice guy to you?
I don't know. This is the only thing that comes to mind when you say sipping.
Sipping on Newcastle Ale. It doesn't really roll off the tongue nearly as well, right?
No, it does not.
Nah. Oh, well. Oh, well. So should I do a full DCBS ad and hope that we get this up? Should I just do a half-assed one? All right. Well, we're sponsored by DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service. Check them out at dcbservice.com. I will mention some things that were on sale, so you can get a basic idea of what will be on sale in the future. A lot of number one issues are on sale this month. Big shock. And a whole bunch of other stuff on sale. You can get trade paperbacks via DCBS if you want to go that route, or you can go on in stock trains and get them that way. But if you want to mix and match, you can go ahead and do that as well. Plenty of good trade deals, usually anywhere from 35 to 40% off on the trade, sometimes even more than that. So look for your best deal, and you can find it at dcbservice.com. And if you purchase stuff off of Comixology, make sure to do it via the DCBS digital storefront, because if you do that, you will get more off of your monthly order with DCBS, and then everyone is happy. And make sure to use the promo code CT8 to get an additional 8% off on your first order with Discount Comic Book Service. They are amazing. They are fantastic. And we loves them. Discount Comic Book Service, dcbservice.com. So, here we are, talking comics, like we do on this show. And should we lead off with the Avengers?
You might as well. It's still in the news a month after it premiered.
Yeah.
Every weekend they're talking about the Avengers and how strongly it's still performing, so let's do it.
All right. I mean, just this week it got eclipsed by Men in Black 3 for the first time since it came out. And even with that, it still made about another like 16 or 17 million here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty heavy, pretty heavy. So how many times have you seen it so far?
I unfortunately have only seen it once.
Okay, I saw it twice. Once the day it came out with a group of like 14 people, we all arrived at the Kips Bay in Manhattan at like 2.5 hours before the start of the movie, just to ensure that we wound up with good seats, and we were second in line, so wow. we wound up dead center.
On a Friday or Thursday night?
This was Saturday. This was Saturday. My mistake. So technically, it had been out for a day. We did the combo of Free Comic Book Day and Avengers because, you know, what else do you do, really? So we went to Jim Hanley's Universe, checked out their sale and got some free books. And then we headed over, grabbed some lunch, and then went to the Kips Bay and got online. Of course, when we get there, even though we were like second in line, there was this. There were these two people who suddenly, because like they had like two shifts in the line. Like first you were outside, and then you were like near the theater, and then you wound up in the theater because, you know, line management. That's the way it works sometimes, right? So we get to the second place where they're keeping us, and magically two people show up that weren't on the line before. And we're like, where the hell did you come from? Like, well, we were sitting on the side. I mean, they didn't tell us anything.
When you're second in line, Ian, does it truly matter?
It doesn't really matter, but we still got in an argument with them because they tried to pull a, we've been here long enough to read our newspaper, and couldn't actually give a specific amount of time that they were waiting in line when they went and did that. And then we were like, okay, well, we were here an hour. And they're like, well, we were here an hour and a half. Okay, we were here an hour and a half. We were here 2 hours.
Semantics. You're both there. You're going to see the movie.
It's true. It's true.
Celebrate that you're geeks together.
These guys weren't really geeks, though, but whatever.
Okay, we'll celebrate that they should be geeks or make fun of them because they're closet geeks. That probably would have made them get out of line, you know?
At one point, the guy actually asked the ticket person, so this is going to be big, huh? That's the type of people we were dealing with here. But whatever, we got in, we saw the movie, and most of the movie were nerds. I mean, most people in the theater were nerds for the first showing. For the second showing, not nearly as much. It had already been 2 weeks, and I guess all the stragglers were going to go see it. But the only bad thing about seeing it opening weekend is that you always wind up missing like three or four lines because of the reactions of the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But love the movie.
Fantastic. Like I missed the puny god line or whatever it was.
We missed that too. Yeah.
Because I was so giddy and squealing that Hulk was doing that to the Wookiee. Oh, spoilers! In case you haven't seen it yet, like, come on.
It is hilarious that you broke up right when you were saying that spoiler. So I have no idea what you just said.
I said spoilers.
Like you went all Dr. Roboto, like at just the right time. So repeat what you said.
I was going to say spoilers, but come on, like you haven't already seen it.
Yeah, come on. I mean, anybody listening to this show has seen it. And if you haven't, turn off the iPod now and come back to it later, or the iPhone or whatever Android device you might be using. See,
I would say you almost don't deserve to listen to our show if you haven't seen already.
And our listenership just went in half. Oh, well. but yeah, no, I mean, the whole reason that I got to see it a second time was because Chris and I were just dying to see it. Like we were like, all right, you know what? We saw it with a large group last time. Let's just have it be the two of us and just go to a showing after work one day. I'm like, okay, fine. And we saw it then, and it was a full theater, but it was a much smaller screen, and to the point where the scene with Black Widow at the beginning with the subtitles, the subtitles ran off the screen, so we couldn't actually read them.
Mm-hmm.
So they wound up giving us the price of our ticket back.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I hope you went and saw it again a third time.
we're highly considering seeing it a third time, although we might just save those vouchers for Brave.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that's coming out soon. But so what was your favorite part of the movie?
Let me think. It must have been... I don't know. I think my absolute favorite part was the long shot, even though it was completely stitched together via CGI. But in the middle of the final battle, where they're going panning from person to person, and they pass over Iron Man and Cap, and Iron Man just drops down out of nowhere. Cap puts his shield up, does a repulsor blast, spins out, hits all the aliens and stuff, and then you pan away to another awesome moment, like Hulk and Thor on top of the super slug beating the crap out of other people. And that was just the most awesome thing you could ever see on film, because it was all stitched together and it flowed fantastic. And I really... You know, like everybody else is saying, you got to give credit to Joss Whedon for letting everybody shine on this movie.
Mm-hmm. Dude, true. So,
that was my absolute favorite part. Second would be Thor giving Loki his due diligence. That would be my second favorite part, because I squealed at that because I did not know that was coming.
Mm. Well, my favorite parts were definitely Ragdoll Loki.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, Ragdoll Loki was just absolutely fantastic. I mean, like Hulk becoming Hulk. Like I liked the Incredible Hulk movie, but it still wasn't quite 100% the Hulk I was looking for. This was the Hulk that I wanted in a movie.
See, I liked this Hulk and I liked the Incredible Hulk, but maybe you can help me out here. What I don't understand was how everyone was saying this is the Hulk we have always wanted. I mean, to me, the Hulk seemed the same. You know, at the very beginning, he was angry and, you know, he fought everybody else and broke shit up.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason, when people have asked me this that aren't comic nerds, and I can't explain it to them why he fought Black Widow at the very beginning, and the second time you saw him, he's helping them.
Well, I think
I couldn't explain that to them other than Loki was meddling the first time.
Yeah, right. And that's pretty much what it was.
But as far as how people are going, this is the Hulk we wanted. I mean, Hulk destroyed Harlem in the last movie. If what they're really trying to say is we wanted Hulk interacting with other Marvel characters, then you can't go, oh, yeah, we've always wanted that, but we never had the opportunity to get it because we had the solo films.
True.
So I really don't understand the characterization of people saying the characterization of Hulk was different and more better are much better this time than the last. I mean, it's much better than the Ang Lee outing, but
oh, of course, yeah.
The comparison to the Ed Norton one, I don't see it.
This was just building upon the Ed Norton one. You know, this was the next logical step. And I'll also say that one of the reasons that he helped out was the bromance, or the science bros, as some of my buddies have started putting them, between Tony Stark and Bruce Banner. That friendship had been already set up, even more so after that that moment there where Bruce slash the Hulk would actually want to help out his new buddy Tony Stark in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So of course that's what happened here, and that might be another one of the reasons why we saw Bruce Banner come in on his kick-ass motorcycle and help out, as opposed to going back to being Bruce Banner MD in the middle of some foreign nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some of the other good moments, Shakespeare in the Park, when Iron Man first lands while Loki and Thor are having their conversation, and just that whole fight in general, and then leading up to the fight ender where Thor's hammer just bashes up against Cap's shield, and just a whole lot of reverberation going on, and really, that's the end of any fight for me.
I think that was cool. I mean, it was a little cliche to comic fans, but I mean,
yeah,
they needed it to set up that Cap could handle his own with these two guys. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yep.
And at the end of the scene, I was glad it was there, and I really did like Thor and Loki's conversation before then too.
Yes. Yes.
That was really neat.
Yeah, and. And if you don't mind, I think I'll have that drink now.
Yes.
And performance anxiety when Loki tries to do his heart zap on Tony Stark, you know, the man with the metal heart.
Mm-hmm.
Fail. Yeah. In general, man, like this was great. And best of all, it wasn't even like falling for any of the Joss Whedon tropes. You know, like, yeah, there was zippy dialogue, and yeah, there was a beloved character dying, but as we've now learned after the fact, Joss was pretty much forced to do that in the movie. Like they said, that someone's going to have to die, and we think it's going to be Coulson. So let's do that. I mean, there's plenty of fan theories as to how they're going to get around this, whether it be Life Metal Decoy or whether Coulson has been Vision all along. But who knows if we'll actually wind up seeing the dude again. But they needed something to avenge, and Agent Coulson is that person to avenge, and you know that's how they become the Avengers.
Yeah, honestly, I don't want to see the Vision. I never got him mm-hmm. as a character. Then again, he's been dead most of the time I've been reading the Avengers. But I could care less if we see him or not.
That's
honestly
fine. That's fine. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, the only other character that we might wind up seeing sometime soon, actually two characters, because the theory that that Chris and I came up with after the movie is that now that Coulson's gone, they can bring in Carol Danvers to be the new S.H.I.E.L.D. liaison, and then have her become Ms. Marvel slash Captain Marvel to A, get another female on the team, and B, it makes sense to have a cosmic character when you introduce Thanos at the end of the movie.
Right.
So that makes a lot more sense, and I think that's where they'll go. And, of course, if the rumors are true that this short that they're including on the Avengers DVD is going to be the first appearance of Ant-Man, that would be pretty sweet.
That would be cool.
Yeah, especially directed by the same director of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Edgar Wright. That would be pretty sweet.
Honestly, I'm hoping that Ant-Man is more of the current guy, the poser that Kirkman wrote.
Yeah, Eric, whatever his last name is.
Yeah, I think that would be a little more interesting than Hank Pym and have to do the Wasp and turn him into an asshole and stuff like that.
Part of me thinks they're going to wind up doing all three. Like, part of me thinks that you're going to get Hank Pym, you're going to get Scott Lang, and you're going to get Eric, and just have it be like an Ant-Man squad. You know? Because they could very easily wind up doing that in the scheme of the movie. And have it still work. But we shall see, because that's a while away. But yeah, it lived up to expectations. And like I said, you agree on the fact that it's not one of the typical, you know, Whedon movies. Like, it didn't come off as typical Whedon dialogue all the time.
I haven't seen enough stuff of his I've honestly, I've only seen Dr. Horrible and Serenity.
Okay.
And that's about it, so.
Better than Serenity.
Well, I like Serenity, but this was, yeah. Mm. I didn't think anything could be better.
I'm not one of those, like, crazy Firefly fans, so, I mean, I like it. I just don't think it's the best thing he's ever done or anything along those lines, and the Serenity movie, for me, just feels like a rushed season two. But yeah, this, for me, is exactly the culmination that we wanted from everything that was set up, and now here we are with more. What do you want to see out of Iron Man 3?
Honestly, I don't know. I think his the villains that I knew of have been kind of mine. I mean, other than the Mandarin, I would like to see that in mm-hmm. I think in a third and possibly final film.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I was kind of hoping they would do some more setup with the Ten Ring clan and stuff like that in two, which they totally skipped over. So,
I know. Yeah, I wasn't too happy about that myself.
I think that would have been a really cool build, similar to the way they did Avengers. But honestly, do you want to set up the Mandarin in the second movie, or do you want to set up the Avengers? I think they went with the correct choice.
I agree. Yeah, and if they do go Mandarin in the third, it's going to have to be like a very careful balance, because I know that they're talking about doing extremists and all that, and that is a very different story than Mandarin. I mean, unless you're right. going to try and combine two things into one here.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they had a very good Mandarin story when he had the extremist armor from the Knoffs.
Right.
Father and son team. So that's I don't know if they would mind that, or it's not a very good origin, but it was a great story.
Yeah.
So.
It's possible they might go that route. I'm still thinking that if there ever is an Iron Man 4, I want the Ezekiel Stane story from the first like 6 issues of Invincible Iron Man to make it.
Oh, Fractions Run. That would be awesome.
That would be really sweet. The next Thor movie is going to be from all intents and purposes a almost exact follow-up to what's happened in Avengers. Like, you see Loki and Thor go back up to Asgard, and that's where Thor 2 is going to take place immediately right. after that.
I think that's a good idea.
I agree as well.
I can see them getting there and then Loki going, "Ha, brother," and then disappear or something like that, yeah. Once he gets to Asgard and Thor screaming loudly and stuff like that.
Mm. What do you think about Winter Soldier for Cap 2? I mean, it hasn't been confirmed or anything, but I mean, you'd think that's the next logical step if you're going to have a Cap be a man out of time and then find out that his best friend is still alive.
I think that's cool, but I think that that might work a bit better in the third film.
Okay.
So
hold off
simply
on it.
Hold off on it, because the way they did Bucky's death in the movie. Personally, I would have liked it better on the rocket and stuff and had him go to the end rather than in the ice canyon or whatever. But I think that might work better with a third film, because I think there's a lot to play with the man out of time stuff in the second movie that you wouldn't want to do that. I think you would want to Cap a little bit more adjusted mm-hmm. so that the shock of Bucky being there is a little bit more profound, rather than having to fight the shock of he's still a man out of time.
Okay. So maybe introduce Sharon and something like a Baron Zemo or something like that.
Yeah, and I would use Sharon just to be the person that helps, introduces him to all this technology and stuff like that.
Right.
She's his shield liaison to the modern world and stuff like that. I think that would be really neat.
Right. And
if they could get Kristen Bell to do it, I think it'd be hilarious.
Oh my God, that would be pretty awesome. Yeah.
I mean, she's a little on the short side, but as far as a person, definitely a witty person that I could see Steve getting, fed up with mm-hmm. from the wisecracks and stuff, I think it would be great.
Well, the other thing that I was thinking is that even if they do have Sharon Carter come in, and if they want a superior to show up this time around, I'd actually kind of rather it be Maria Hill than Nick Fury. Just because I want to see the character of Maria Hill fleshed out a little bit more, and the Cap movie might be a good place to do it.
I think so, and I think it's justifiable too that Fury's a little busy to handle Cap's day-to-day stuff.
Right.
And I think Hill could be such a bitch that, at one point Cap has to go over her head to Fury and stuff like that, but yeah.
Oh, dude, that was half my favorite part about the movie when it came to Maria Hill, is that she was still a giant bitch.
It's I didn't get that feeling as much, but
I don't know. Like whenever she was on the screen, I would turn to Chris, and we'd still get that "Shut up, Maria" that we get in the comics. You know, like she was cool, but she also sort of had that air of like not quite fitting in the way that Maria Hill always has. Mm-hmm. And kids, that's how your Aunt Robin met the Avengers.
Yes, that was hilarious.
So yeah, that's all been well and good. Let's stay in the realm of media for a little bit, because I caught up on Young Justice, and
yeah, how different is that show?
Oh my god, man! Like pulling the 5 year later jump for season two, totally did not see that coming, and doing it, I feel like this is the difference between Justice League and Justice League Unlimited for Young Justice.
Well, it's like you didn't know it was coming, and then all of a sudden you have Robin and Marine Man or Marine Boy, Lagoon Boy.
Lagoon Boy, yeah.
And Robin was in a different costume and a different build. Mm-hmm. And what's the other guy? Blue Beetle is amazing in the show. I think that's the best they've ever done him.
Yeah.
Him talking to the Scarab and, you know, people hearing him and going, "The fuck you talking to?"
and him still thinking that that it's, you know, that this is the way Ted Kord interacted with the Beetle, even though, you know, we'll probably have a reveal later down the road exactly as to what the truth is.
Yeah. So
Tim,
I like that.
Tim!
And Tim Drake is there, yeah, as Robin.
Yeah.
And then you get Batgirl, too, and Dick is Nightwing.
Yeah, and Wonder Girl.
And Wonder Girl is awesome. Did you see this week's episode?
This last week's episode, yeah.
This from Saturday with
yes.
her at the girl team. That was mm-hmm. pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome. And you know, did you realize who voices her?
Mm-mm.
Mae Whitman, the voice of Katara from Avatar.
Okay, awesome.
You haven't seen Avatar: The Last Airbender yet, have you?
No, I still have not.
God damn you, man!
Honestly, I have very little interest.
Trust me, you will once you see it.
Come on, Shyamalan doesn't really
fuck him so hard for ruining that. Okay, the series has nothing to do with any of that bullshit. It's 800 times better than that, man.
Fuck Shyamalan.
Seriously, no, really. Like, see it, you'll understand just how much shit the movie is in comparison to the awesome show.
I didn't see the movie.
Well, good. Don't see the movie and watch the show.
How many episodes is it?
It's three seasons. So, I think each season is like 24 eps.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, and they're half hour long. So, and they're all three seasons are streaming on Netflix.
Okay.
So you can get around to it. Okay.
Will do. Will all do. Right. But yeah, Young Justice is definitely kicking ass.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And how about the reveal that I certainly didn't see coming. I mean, making Arsenal a clone, well, I guess Red Arrow a clone, and that...
Oh, yeah, finale.
Yeah, no one's really known the real Speedy this entire time.
I was like, what? I think most people were like, what?
Yeah. It's...
Craziness.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. Ange wants to join in. You want me to allow?
Nah, let's keep it going.
All right, okay.
We're good.
All right.
No offense to Ange, but on a roll. But yeah, Young Justice have been awesome. I like the shorts. I think Super Best Friends Forever is the best of all. The first Aardman little cutesy one I dug when I first saw it, but the second time around, I really didn't get into it.
Wait, say again. Sorry, distracted.
The Aardman shorts.
Oh,
the claymation,
yeah.
And the kids. The first one was funny, but the second one was kind of so-so.
The shorts have been hit and miss for me so far. I like the Ant-Man stuff.
Sorry,
Adam, not Ant-Man. I have Ant-Man on the brain. The Adam stuff has been good. I even like the Vibe shorts, the dance ones that were kind of fun because they were all like 70s old school and everything.
The only ones I don't like are Plastic Man.
Okay.
I can't stand those.
I liked the Plastic Man, but they're not exactly my favorites. My favorite one so far, though, was the Teen Titans one with the time travel. But yeah, no, the Teen Titans short with the time travel, like doing like the 80s and the 70s and the 60s.
Oh yeah, that was fantastic.
And then ending it off with Scissor Paper Stone era.
Yeah, I did. I did see that.
That was pretty awesome. That was nice. But and how about the fact that like somewhere out there there is a world where not only does Leanne still live for all the bitching that we did back in the days of that frickin' cry for justice bullshit, but post cry for justice, Speedy / Arsenal / whatever the hell you want to call him is missing an arm as well. So it's like you're getting your good and your bad. Like James Robinson is like, wow, I still matter. Nah, like overall, and like sort of doing the addiction storyline without actually straight up saying that he's addicted to anything.
Yeah, just saying that he's like messed up.
Yeah. Man,
it's
cool. I'm thrilled with what's going on right here. I mean, and plus you know that like Kit, at some point Kid Flash and Arrowette / whatever
Artemis.
Artemis are going to wind up out of retirement for one reason or another.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Do you think we're going to get flashbacks at any point?
If it's absolutely necessary, but it almost seems like it's not. Mm. Like it seems like the light went away for you know, so many years and stuff like that, mm-hmm. for 5 years, and then came back, and this is the second part of their plan.
Right.
Because they had those 16 days, they just were waiting for the right moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I honestly don't care. I'm, you know, I liked the first season, but I'm more interested in following this season and going forward than anything else.
Yeah. Well, I sincerely hope that they don't pull a reversal at the end of the season. You know, like if they find a way to, you know, change what happened during those missing hours and they wind up back to 5 years before, that would just be such a retread and so unnecessary.
Yes.
So we'll see where this goes, man, but it went from being like almost close to being dropped to now like I need to watch this immediately when it comes out.
Yeah, I mean it was a good show before, but now it has turned into an excellent show.
Yes.
It went from like 3.5 stars to a full 5.
Mhm. Yep.
Which unfortunately I cannot say the same about the Marvel block.
Ooh, so you've been watching it, huh?
I have been watching it. Okay. Do you want to talk about Green Lantern, or have you been following that?
I really haven't been following it past that two-episode premiere they did as a preview. Okay. A bunch of them are still sitting on the DVR. I'll get through it eventually, but what do you think about it?
It's kind of like Young Justice last season was a better show than this is right now.
Ooh.
And, I mean, they're the Red Lanterns, they're not compelling. The thing with Green Lantern is that his compelling villains, I mean, all these other villains and stuff, they kill people.
Mm-hmm.
The Rage guys kill people. They cut people in half. You know, they're angry. They murder. They're nasty people. And basically, they sucked all of the danger out of the Red Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the Red Lantern Oath is pretty much still the same, but they basically sucked all of the terror and coolness out of those characters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Atrocitus doesn't even look the same.
Ugh.
That's a little pet peeve of mine, but I can go with it because his costume's a little different, but same with everything else's, you know.
Right.
Bleeze obviously isn't as sexy as when Ed Bennis is drawn in her book, but...
Did we get to see Blue Lanterns yet?
Yeah, he's in like the last episode, mm-hmm. but that's like the season finale, and they don't really go into it past that.
Okay, so
other than he shows up and helps out Kilowog.
It's St. Walker, I assume, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, all right, cool.
It is.
All right. Yeah, I kind of really didn't have a reason to watch it after watching those two episodes. Like they just came off as too kiddie for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that's the exact reason why I've only watched one episode of Ultimate Spider-Man. It's just it came off as something that is just not meant for me, which is fine. You know, I mean, well, if it's doing well with the kids, then that's good.
Ultimate Spider-Man is definitely more kiddie than Green Lantern.
Okay.
Green Lantern, it's along the same lines as any Bruce Timm show. Mm-hmm. But because we've had such recent interaction with all the different core and stuff, I think that it's kind of unfortunate that it had to do this rather than, you know, they didn't have to tell an origin story, but I think it would have been a little bit better because that's stuff that nobody has seen on television before. Mm-hmm. You know, even though it wasn't a movie, maybe you could have skipped it and still had him as a rookie and be a rookie Lantern. I think that would have been interesting. And then you could have had Sinestro and his whole thing. And I mean, I know it's been explored in that movie and stuff, but even still, I think Bruce Timm would have done a better job with it than the Green Lantern movie, the animated movie that came out a while back.
Yeah. So is there a way that they can actually, like, fix the Green Lantern show the way that Young Justice got quote-unquote fixed?
I mean, they could. It seemed to me that they pretty much closed the Red Lantern arc this season. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think they could.
Okay.
I think part of the reason that it didn't grab me as much is because they spend the entire season in the Sector 666, basically, or the Forgotten, you know. So it's this great thing in the comics, Sector 666. You know, the entire sector was murdered by Manhunters. That's still there, but it's the Forgotten Zone, not Sector 666.
Yeah, because they can't say 666.
Apparently,
yeah. Satan bad.
Right. And then, so they spend the entire season in this sector, and it's really Kilowog, the Red Lantern, Hal, and the Robot Girl all by themselves. So you don't get to see Tomar Rae. You don't get to see Salak. You don't get to see any of the other Lanterns other than the premiere and the end episodes.
Okay.
And the Guardians are barely in there and barely felt in the entire thing.
Well, that's annoying.
So it seems just a little weird that they're kind of on this spaceship the entire time. And it's got a kind of like lame Star Trek Voyager vibe, but lame because I liked Voyager, but it's kind of lame because there's only the four of them there. And it's like you can't communicate with Oa that well, or you don't do it often enough to kind of, you know, they're kind of just trudging around this sector and then stumbling upon missions and stuff like that. Right. Always falling into trouble rather than have a specific goal that they need to accomplish.
Sure, because, I mean, they're Green Lanterns. There should be more than just four or five Green Lanterns in a show.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's a budget thing, and they're kind of waiting on the success. So, I mean, we'll see in season two, but I really think that they open up the world because it was really contained this season. Mm-hmm. And with Green Lantern, I think the whole appeal of it and what people wanted more in the movie was to see more of the other Green Lanterns. And, you know, Bruce Timm was producing this before the movie and at the same time. But, you know, I think he can learn a little – I hope he learned a little bit from last year's film that – people want to see more of the universe and the other Lanterns and stuff.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I hope that Marvel Comics has learned that that folks want to see an Avengers team that works, and that's what you get out of Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, as opposed to continuity, which is apparently what they want to do by, like, ending Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes after season two and making a new Avengers show that ties into the Ultimate Spider-Man universe. Because to me, that makes very little sense, because you do not need shows that have continuity. I mean, DC has never really done that other than there's never really been two of them on at the same time that had continuity other than Superman and Batman. And that made sense because it was Superman and Batman.
Right. But Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes is almost already moving towards that because, you know, the Cap costume has changed pretty much to the Ultimate version, which I think is what it was in Ultimate Spider-Man if we saw it.
Yeah.
Ultimate Nick Fury got a haircut and grew a mustache. Mm. So he looks like Sam Jackson in Earth's Mightiest Heroes now. Maria Hill is there in Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Right. She has been to begin with. Though.
Yeah, right. And they're changing Thor's costume at some point. We got Miss Marvel and stuff like that. The Helicarrier's there. I don't understand why they just can't leave it alone.
Yeah.
If they're going to change it.
Especially since, the only reason that they want to change it from, and this is, again, all according to the internet and not necessarily from Disney themselves, is that Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes was created before the Avengers, before the Disney merger, meaning that it was done with outside help, wasn't completely a Disney job, and it was before Jeff Loeb, you know, the almighty and powerful Jeff Loeb took over as head of media for Marvel. So he's the one that created Ultimate Spider-Man, and Disney's people are the ones that created Ultimate Spider-Man. So what does he want? He wants an Avengers show that has his complete input, and that's not what Avengers or Mightiest Heroes is. However, what do we know from the track record of Mr. Jeff Loeb? We don't want your input. Because for the most part, you put out subpar shit.
I mean, what was it? Oh, we're getting a Hulk Smash, Agents of Smash thing later this year.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound cool. I don't want to see A-Bomb in a fucking cartoon.
Neither do I.
And that feels like Jeff Loeb pandering, honestly.
Right.
And
Ultimate Spider-Man felt kind of cheesy to me.
It is cheesy. I mean, I've watched every episode, but it's one of those things where I'm kind of paying half attention and bring out my iPad to just kind of during the boring parts to look at something or play a game or whatever.
Most people have said that Sensational Spider-Man is the better show.
I honestly never saw that, but I'm still missing the 90s Spider-Man.
Well, so do I, yeah. But that was ours.
I know it was ours. I understand the appeal of being on a younger network, but they're not even on Saturday mornings. They're on Sunday mornings, which I feel is weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why aren't you on Saturdays at 9 or 11 versus the 10 slot on Sundays? Kids would open up their TVs or whatever, tune into your block, and then go to DC after, and everybody has their cake, or use DC as an opening. They're already primed for superheroes, and then put on yours. Right. I mean, I did that all the time when I was a kid.
Sure. DVR culture, especially today, where they could very easily choose one or the other and then wind up watching it afterwards. But I guess they want to avoid that and have people watch it, you know, first running or whatever. But I never do that.
No, any time I've watched them, it's been on my DVR. I'm not getting up to watch them. But I don't know. I think it's a little too kiddie, and having Bendis and Paul Dini be involved in it, I'm kind of disappointed that that's what we got.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I again.
And the Man of Action team, did they do Ben 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
So was Ben 10 like that? I never saw an episode.
I've never seen an episode. Chris has seen episodes. She says that it starts out very cheesy and winds up a little more serious later on. But why did that happen? Dwayne McDuffie got involved. Yeah. That's when it started getting good, was when Dwayne McDuffie started getting involved. So that's that might be one of the reasons there. But it's just, I don't know, it feels like Marvel in general is forgetting that you can be smart enough for kids and smart enough for adults at the same time.
That's
or sophisticated
the best thing
enough
that,
for both at the same time.
That's the best thing that Bruce Timm has ever done, is do both.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like, if they can't have a Bruce Timm, I guess they're going in opposite direction.
I guess so.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, the other, I'm trying to think, there was one other media thing that I wanted to bring up real quick. Oh, yeah. Green Arrow. You going to watch it?
I'll check it out.
This might be the one that I get on the ground floor for, because I missed out on Smallville back in the day.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean that's why I still have only really seen about two seasons worth of it on, you know, via Netflix, because I never watched it when it first started, and then I feel like I fell behind way too quickly, and back then didn't have a DVR, so I would have had to wait for reruns to come around, and I just, you know, gave up and waited until afterwards for the most part. And with Green Arrow, I'll give it a shot. It looks cool enough. It looks like it might be something that's worth watching, and if it isn't, then I'll drop it after three episodes.
Honestly, I don't know if it's going to last 10 seasons like Smallville.
Six seasons in a movie.
It might get two seasons. It might get three, honestly. But I don't see it having the longevity of Smallville. But that's good because, you know, and maybe it won't go bad so quickly.
Maybe. It's possible.
Or towards the end there. Actually, Smallville did turn up a little bit in 9 and 10. 8, 9, and 10.
Mm. So how much of AVX have you been reading?
I've been reading the main series, and the Verses.
Oh, so you have been reading the Verses as well? Okay, all right.
Yeah. I bought the first one on a lark on Comixology and enjoyed it enough. And then the second one was fun too. So I mean, I'm enjoying them. I mean, they're not worth my $3.99, honestly, but you know, I'm enjoying them enough that I'm kind of overlooking it.
Well, I read the first one, and it was exactly what it broadcasted itself to be. It was a drawn-out fight scene. It wasn't really, you know, much to do about story. It was just, you know, I'm going to punch, and eventually somebody's going to win.
Yeah, the Adam Kubert one was the worst of the four that have come out.
Mm-hmm. And then McNiven did he do all of the second book, or just the caps?
No, just the Cap and Gambit. Each artist does one battle.
Okay.
The rest of it was LaRocca.
Okay.
Spider-Man and Colossus, which was fun too.
Well, how about the whole like torn costume thing in Versus, and none of that at all in the regular book?
Hey man, I'm sure JRJR had his shit done months ago, and it's a separate book, so
yeah,
you know, I just chalk it up to whatever.
All right. That's cool.
Unstable molecules, my friend.
Yes, even Cap can have unstable molecules.
That's right.
Yeah, it's okay so far. I mean, it's not the most compelling series I've ever read, but it's a frickin' Versus book. You know,
yeah, it's not meant to be serious.
Yeah, and same could be said for Avengers versus X-Men, the main title. Is that, yeah, you know, things are going to quote-unquote change after this, but I'm more looking forward to what happens after it than I am, you know, the next issue of the series. Because if changes are going to happen, I'm just more curious what the hell the changes are going to be. Because, like, rumor has it that after AVX, Bendis is going to take over the X-Books. And Gillen is going to move through Iron Man, which only naturally means that the team of Matt Fraction and LaRocca would wind up taking over Avengers.
Honestly, I think Fraction is so good they should just let him be, unless he's done. I mean, if he's done, the man's done, honestly. But I don't know. As long as they keep Greg Land away from anything that I'm actually reading, that's fine with me.
Well, I guess
keep him on the X-Books because I'm not reading those.
Guess you're not going to be reading Iron Man because that's the big rumor going around, is that it's going to be Gillen and Land on Invincible Iron Man.
Well, then I'll try the first issue and then pass out.
Great. Now, Pepper will be drawn as a different Hollywood starlet.
Yeah, she'll be Jessie Jane or something, you know.
Yeah, different sect of Hollywood.
Yes, different. Very different.
So I picked up at a comic book sale. Well, not exactly a comic book sale, but... First off, I went to Wild Pig and had a good time at Wild Pig. You know, the super show of this year, quote-unquote, because, you know, it wasn't exactly a super show, but the CGS guys were there, and I had a good time and got to have dinner afterwards with Harold Jennett and Ziggo and Ziggo's new girlfriend, so that was cool. But while I was there, I picked up... Irredeemable volume, what is it? I think volume 8 for 50% off, which was pretty cool. And then I picked up Avengers, Infinity, I think it's like Infinity Crusade or something like that. The one with Eric Masterson Thor from the 90s.
Okay.
Galactic something or other. I can't remember.
Galactic Storm?
It might be Galactic Storm. That might be what I'm thinking of. Yeah. For $5. And I got one other thing while I was there, and that was an Andrew Charapar drawing of damn it, why can't I think of his name all of a sudden? Invincible's father.
Omni-Man,
thank you. Of Omni-Man. Yeah, and that came out amazing, and that's going to be the third Invincible drawing on my wall once I put it up in a frame, and that was cool. But
frame in a frame.
But I also got at a I had a Groupon for one of my local comic shops, and I wound up getting Nightfall Volume 1.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
I did look at that new trade.
Yeah.
And they're finally collecting Knight's Quest, which I believe is out right now. So I can stop hunting the issues and just go buy that, which makes me happy.
Yeah, well, I got, in fact, actually, is that just listed as volume 2 of the whole
thing? That's the new, okay, it's a little confusing. What you have in your hands, Nightfall Volume 1, the new super thick trade,
yeah,
was previously known as Nightfall Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Right.
Basically, that's the whole – what you have in your hands is the whole story from Batman, Bane breaking out all the Arkham villains. In the middle, his back is broken. Jean Paul takes over, and then it ends with Jean Paul defeating Bane.
Right.
Spoilers.
Right.
Batman 500 is the end of that volume.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Nightfall Volume 1. Everything after that is Knight's Quest.
Okay.
Until Knight's End begins, which is the third volume in this new trade collection, basically.
Okay.
But before, they didn't have Knight's Quest. It was Bane breaks out villains, Batman back is broken, that's Volume 1. The whole Jean Paul until he defeats Bane was Volume 2. Then you skipped a bunch of stuff and had Batman versus Jean Paul as Knight's End, Volume 3
okay.
of Nightfall.
Gotcha.
So they're finally including all the story, and there's that first story in there, I think, is the Vengeance of Bane, which is his first appearance,
mm-hmm.
which for some reason they didn't think to include, I don't know, 7 years ago when they first collected that the most recent time before this one.
Interesting.
But it's also available in, what is it? Some other Bane paperback came out. Has that and has some Ra's al Ghul story. So okay. I've got all three of those volumes already, so I'm thinking I'll go pick up that other Bane trade paperback and just pick up the Knight's Quest volume, and I think I'll be good.
Okay. Yeah, see, I think I wound up with Batman Nightfall Part 1 and Part 2. I'm pretty sure that's how I have it collected. Hopefully I didn't pick up the same thing twice because that would kind of suck. But I don't think I did because I got for like $8.50 at Jim Hanley's yesterday part two of Batman Nightfall. So again, hopefully I didn't double up, but I don't think I did because
might have, because on the thinner trades, if they have a Mike Deodato cover, that's the old collections.
Okay.
On all three of those.
Okay.
And I think the new ones, I'm not sure who's on the cover.
All right. Well, either way, I'll take a look when I'm done here and see whether or not I did. And then worst comes to worst, I put it on Amazon Marketplace. Bada bing, bada boom. Nothing said, nothing done. But but either way, I look forward to reading the Breaking of the Bat.
The Breaking of the Bat. Is that your first time going to read it?
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Cool.
I've seen it plenty of times. I just have yet to actually read it.
Cool. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Cool.
Yep.
Definitely check out Sean and Jim's marathon episodes. I listened to those and finished those up recently, and they'll be a fantastic listening to once you finish a volume.
Cool.
Obviously,
I will definitely do that. Did you bullets yourself for that? Or?
No, I didn't. Sean kind of did the Nightwing or the Knight's Quest, but I figured maybe when the trade comes out, I'll read it as a whole and then see how I feel.
All right.
Because honestly, I hadn't been. Had not been keeping up with their episodes enough to know that when they were doing it. So by the time I paid attention, the first episode had already come out, and then the second one came out, and then the third came out, and I was like, well, holy cow, guys. There goes that idea. So.
Yeah, well.
Oh, well. Sean still owes me a Blue Beetle episode.
And yeah, you can talk about the DC new Blue Beetle, even though I'm not liking that as much as I would like to.
No, they had Kyle Rayner in the last one. Did you read that one?
I have not read that one yet.
And
no.
Number 9, Kyle Rayner.
Oh, yeah?
New Guardians. Yeah, it's fun.
Okay. That's cool. I am liking New Guardians a lot.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So what have you been reading lately?
Same stuff like we talked about last time. I did end up picking some of the new Wave, DC new Wave 2.
Mm-hmm.
Batman Inc. I picked that up.
Yeah,
still a complete mindfuck. I mean, it's not as good as not as a complete mindfuck, but it is dense.
Okay.
Denser than Action Comics.
Are you dense? So you're retarded? I'm the goddamn Batman.
Yes. Earth 2 I picked up, and I also picked up World's Finest Huntress and Power Girl.
I heard that that both Earth 2 and World's Finest are much better than people thought they were going to be.
Yes.
Okay. All
yes, right. They are.
All right, because I'm waiting for my shipment to show up, so I can't read it for another week or two. But I'm glad that you read it and enjoyed it.
Huntress and Power Girl is fun. Kevin Maguire and George Perez art.
Can't beat that.
No, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And Earth 2, Nicola Scott. I'm actually liking her. First actual title I think I've given her. Well, no, I read some of her Teen Titans stuff, but
yeah, come on,
I'm interested. I'm interested.
Yeah, in fact, we liked that that Teen Titans arc greatly. Actually,
JT Krull.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. What the hell's he doing with his life right now?
Who knows?
Yeah,
definitely read Earth 2 before you read World's Finest.
I will do that. I will do that. I've heard that's the way you're supposed to read it, because it comes off kind of weird otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I know that they show up in Earth 2 before they show up in World's Finest, but I've heard a couple spoilers here and there, but I look forward to reading the full story and getting the full flesh out, just how different the world is. But everything I've heard is that these Earth 2 outfits for Wonder Woman, Batman, and Superman are much better than their Earth 1 counterparts.
Well, Wonder Woman kind of leaves something for me to be desired.
Okay.
It's
closer to her old outfit, right?
Yeah, it's much closer to her old. Superman's I'm digging. Batman is like, it's a mix between this Batman of 666 and almost like the Night Quest outfit.
A little bit of Gotham by Gaslight thrown in there, too.
Yeah, it's a little too much armor for me.
Okay.
I mean, he looks too much like a swashbuckler.
Gotcha.
And not enough like Batman. And I'm not really digging the way Nicola Scott draws the symbol on this one.
All right.
Versus on the cover, I think it looks cool. But I guess it's the colors and the art. So
how much of a shit do you give that the new gay character might very well be Alan Scott?
Honestly, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, neither do I. The only thing that I do give a shit about is that means that we probably won't get Jade or Obsidian anytime soon.
Well, if we do, it'll be like, oh, the gay character has a gay son. Well, and then we can have a big, you know, Republican ruckus about how they chose to be gay or gay parents raised gay kids. Just look at DC Comics, blah, blah, blah.
Actually, it could very easily be done because they didn't really grow up with Alan Scott to begin with. So it could very easily be... I donated my sperm, and then these two kids happen, and one of them's green. Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no. Who knows?
Yeah.
I would kind of prefer it be Wally West, just to throw a wrench in the kink of all continuity.
No! I have nothing against gay people, but I just want Wally West back in...
I think those internet articles would be a lot more interesting to read than Alan West is gay.
Spoilers, it's super.
Then read Wally West is gay. What does this do to continuity? And then read all those. Would be a lot more interesting.
It's Superman. Superman's gay.
No, no.
What? That's what Fox News told me.
No.
Fox News is always right, right?
Another thing that's interesting about Earth 2 is that they're facing the parademons and stuff. So it kind of mirrors the Justice League first story.
Cool.
But, I almost think Robinson did it a little better.
Really?
Hmm. Maybe because that's because shit happened.
Hey, come
on. And I'm not saying that in that the first story was bad or nothing happened. Things certainly did happen. But it's also the difference between six issues versus one issue. But there are ramifications of the new – of the apocalypse people coming to Earth and, you know, long-lasting ramifications rather than none in Justice League.
Other than
the creation of Cyborg and him getting a mother box.
Yeah, and other than I am Aquaman and I am awesome, here are the many reasons why I am awesome.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of getting a little tiring. Like, yeah, I know Aquaman's a good series, and I'm enjoying how good Aquaman currently is. But you don't have to keep reminding me how awesome Aquaman is. How I can just read the stories.
Yeah. Honestly, Aquaman's good, but... I don't know why. Johns is Green Lantern, and Aquaman seems like there's not a whole lot moving the story forwards issue to issue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you read something like Manipul's Flash, that shit's moving along, and there's a lot packed into each issue.
Oh, yeah.
Where it feels like Aquaman, I'm just getting a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit. And the same thing with Green Lantern with this Indigo Tribe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a little bit. And it's like, just give me the story. and make shit happen.
Right.
I don't care if it has to be four issues. I think Geoff Johns needs to experiment a little more and throw in some three issue arcs in all these things. And he doesn't. Everything he's done has been six, 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 six. You know, here's a two issue break for Justice League. Here's a one issue break for Green Lantern. You know.
Hey. Well, who knew?
Mix it up.
Well, yeah, no, I would mix it up as well, but he is mixing it up. I mean, now the A in JLA stands for Justice League Authority. What, that flew over your head?
Yeah, well, Justice League Authority?
Well, that they're behaving more like the Authority than they are Justice League right now. You know, like gods amongst men, and you know what they say goes, and no one can be a member of the Justice League but the originals, and yada yada yada. It feels a lot more cold than the Justice League that we were familiar with before the new DCU.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, maybe this will go somewhere different after a couple of issues here, but right now it just feels a lot like, we're awesome, so don't mess with us because we're awesome, and we're going to shape the world the way we see fit because we're awesome.
Well, honestly, I would feel a little scared to buy a team that couldn't keep their members straight for a season or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, I know sports and stuff change, but somebody completely changing the entire Justice League roster each year, I would be, if I was living in that world, I'd be a little confused. And then, who's in charge of this thing, you know?
And then Green Arrow says, hey guys, I want to be a member.
Wait, you're telling me Superman, the world's greatest hero, is in charge, and now he's leaving it to Black Canary? And then she's gone, and after a couple months, and now Vixen's in charge, and Zatanna?
What?
Oh, if you missed all that, read the last Justice League series.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
McDuffie falling, and then all those other people.
I could do that. Yeah. In fact, yeah, you know what? Looking at the... Looking now at the trades that are available for Nightfall, I think I did wind up with the wrong fucking trade. Oh well. C'est la vie. Such is life.
C'est la vie.
Yep. Wound up with Nightfall Part 1, Broken Bat, and then Nightfall Part 2 of the other printing. But I'll live. It's still the story. It's all that matters.
Yep.
Yep. All right, got anything else?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Well, the other thing I wanted to add is I just now picked up via the New York Public Library Uncanny X-Force Volume 1, so I'll be able to finally start catching up on that, and things will make a lot more sense to me, because reading Wolverine and the X-Men and the whole, you know, Kid Apocalypse stuff, I was like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, you're going to have to read more than Volume 1 for that, though.
I'm going to slowly get there, because New York Public Library had Volume 1, and then Brooklyn Public Library has Volumes 2 and 3, and I think they're probably going to get in more after that. So I'll just keep taking out volumes. I'm also catching up on X-Men Legacy, actually, which...
Yeah?
Yeah, which is a lot better than I initially thought it was. Once they started getting out of the whole Professor Xavier thing and into, like, Rogue, it's a much better series.
See, I didn't read any of the Rogue stuff, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, well...
I did read X-Men Second Coming recently.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was good.
It was good.
Even though I didn't know really who Bastion was, but he was definitely a threat to the X-Men, and shit happened.
Yeah, well,
I could definitely see how Wolverine would be pissed at her and want to kill her after reading that in AVX.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Bitch, you killed Cable, you cut off this kid's hands, mm-hmm. You killed my best friend,
yep.
You know, forget who else died, you know, all this stuff. I definitely could see how he could want to kill her.
It's nice to see major changes that, for the most part, stick, too, in Second Coming. And, I mean, I still have to read Schism once that's available via the library, because I read the aftermath of Schism, but not necessarily the series itself, because, you know, like, I'm like, oh, they're two separate factions now. Okay, that much I get. Now it'd be nice to actually read how that happened.
Yeah, Schism, I read Schism It's a little ham-fisted.
Yeah.
To me, yeah.
Yeah, well. And the other thing I'm reading right now is Age of X.
Nope, I didn't read that. Is that a Legacy and New Mutants crossover?
It was a Legacy and New Mutants crossover. It's sort of like Age of Apocalypse, only Mike Carey's take on things, and it's pretty good so far.
Like, so is it the same universe as Age of Apocalypse, or is it a different Apocalypse thing?
It's a whole new... Well, it's not Apocalypse at all, actually. It's just Age of X. Like,
it's
the whole
future X-Men world?
Not exactly even future. It's
alternate.
Alternate, yeah. Like, it's a world where Phoenix blew up, like, all of Albany. And after that, mutants are hunted down and are now outlawed, like, entirely. Like, they're doing... The humans are doing their best to just get just kill off any single mutant that they can possibly get their hands on.
Huh.
Yeah. And the head of the team is Magneto along with Cannonball. Mm-hmm. Cannonball is like the I guess the closest to a general you get in this. And Scott Summers is a very different character in this world. So as opposed to being a leader or whatever, he's known as the Basilisk. And he was used by the government to execute mutants. They actually removed his eyelids so he could not turn off his optic blasts. So they would use him as an execution tool.
Just like hella drop him in front of somebody and let it be known that you're dead, or have like a remote control visor.
He was used mainly in prisons, actually. Like he was the electric chair. So
walk in front of this beam, go.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Oh. Yeah. And he eventually broke free, and he is not a happy camper.
So if his unlimited optic blast destroy everything, how did they keep him in prison?
Well, they had a like their own sort of visor thing that would shut off the powers, and they had like a lock on them and everything, so he couldn't actually. He couldn't actually access it himself.
I could just see, like, you know, putting it and lifting the visor and then him opening the wall to his entire cell and then being like, oh, crap, we gotta wall up his cell again.
Mm.
You know, like he blows a hole through the roof.
Like, damn it, gotta do it all over again.
Yep.
Shit, man. Oh, well.
Bummer.
Yep. All right.
Are you gonna get any of the Before Watchmen?
No, I have actually made a decision not to.
No.
Yeah. It's
you couldn't get the bundles.
I decided not to get the bundles because I have Watchmen on my shelf already. In a trade paperback. If this turns out to be amazing, I will hear from other people how amazing it is, and I will wait for the trade paperbacks to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I am not going to pick it up in singles because I don't need it in singles. It's just not that interesting to me.
Huh.
Yeah. See, look at me having self-control for once.
Yeah, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to get everything. I might sample a couple and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely interested in reading Lee Bermejo's Rorschach and The Comedian, I think, are the two that interest me the most. And Minutemen.
Cool.
Those three. Everything else I could kind of wait, so we'll see. I might pick up an issue or two and then go, you know what, I'm gonna wait on the trade because the same thing, I got it on the shelf.
Yep. Oh, Spider-Man Ends of the Earth is amazing.
I did like that. That's very good.
Really good. I mean, I haven't finished it yet, obviously, because I still got two issues coming, but what I've read so far has just been really, really good. I love what they're doing with Doc Ock. Like, I'd be perfectly okay if this is the quote-unquote last Doc Ock story, you know?
Did you catch up on Ultimate Spider-Man?
No, I'm not, because I am actually waiting for a replacement issue, because one of the issues I got was damaged.
Ooh.
There were two pages outside the binding, so the issue is not in correct order, so I can't actually read it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'll probably wind up putting it on my... since I don't want to wait any longer, I'll probably put it on my iPod Touch so I can read it, since it does come with a download code.
Yep.
I read the issue before that, so the last one I have is the one with the Prowler on the cover.
Well, they're both of them have the Prowler on the cover.
Okay. Well, this was the
9 and 10. Is the Prowler on a bridge stealing shit?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's 9. 10 has the Prowler beating the crap out of Spider-Man.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm liking what I'm reading so far. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, Venom is actually really good.
Really?
Flash just, I won't give away the ending of 18, but basically he has his own Sinister Six now.
Okay.
And the Crime Master, which is a villain I never heard of and kind of looks like Venom. He has a black mask and two white things on him and Jack-O-Lantern. And the Fly is a really weird villain. But Lan Medina is on art and Remender is doing a cool job. And Jack-O-Lantern, this version of Jack-O-Lantern is just sick as fuck. He's just a disgusting person. But he makes for an interesting villain. And then Eddie Brock was actually going around in earlier issues of Venom and killing other symbiotes, like killing their hosts.
Okay.
After he's lost, he's like gone batshit and crazy. And then Crime Master fuses him with a toxin symbiote. So now he's like a super version of Venom, but more scary in like the Carnage way.
Interesting.
But he's more of like a hulking beast, similar to Mac Gargan in Thunderbolts kind of way.
Huh.
So it's very interesting and very cool.
I've been liking Secret Avengers since Remender took over.
Mm-hmm.
Like that has been really fun. I mean, speaking of Venom, because Venom gets introduced in issue 2 of the current arc. The stuff before AVX and the stuff even after it. That it looks like the original Captain Marvel is back.
Yeah, I haven't read that most recent issue yet, but honestly, that first Remender arc after the first issue didn't do wonders for me.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm just kind of like eh.
Not a big fan of robots.
No, I mean it's like done.
Mm.
I mean it's hard following Warren Ellis. I understand, but. He could have kept that concept. That was a cool concept.
It was a cool concept, but I kind of like what's going on right now, just because it's steeped in Avengers lore, and yet still sort of doing the whole covert mission thing.
I don't know. They still don't feel secret to me.
All right. Oh well.
Oh well. We'll see.
Yep. All right, so I think that's all I'm tapped out for right here. Nice short hour and 10-minute episode of comic timing to wet your whistle until we come back for more in hopefully another week or two.
Yes. Hopefully we'll have a panel.
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps the time has come to return to a panel format. But for now, you listen to us talk because we like each other.
Yes, and you like us.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add real quick, or that it?
No, that's about it, man.
All right, cool. It is fucking hot in this room, so I want to get the hell out of here. So the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. You can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com.
Ooh, I got one more thing.
All right, go ahead.
No, I'm just kidding. I just wanted to make you freak out a little because you're sweating.
Dick. Facebook.com/comic timing is where you can find your comic timing knowledge these days. No more forums, although there is still the comicforums.com, but there are no more comic timing forums. You can check us out at facebook.com/comic timing and comment on the shows over there if you so desire. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and the League of Comic Book Podcasts over comicbooknoise.com/league. If you're in the New Jersey area, I will be at Anime Next weekend. That is June, I believe, the 8th through the 10th, if memory serves correctly. Yes, it is the 8th through the 10th. And I'll be holding 3 panels, 1 on Friday and 2 on Saturday. One of them is American Comic Books for the Manga Fan. That is on Friday. And then Saturday, and I will be doing an American Animation panel in the afternoon, and then Adult Swim Revolution at night. So, yet again, if any of you are in the Jersey area of Somerset, New Jersey, check it out at animenext.org. I believe pre-reg has ended, but if you want to pick up tickets at the door, you can do that for not too expensive, if you so desire. And of course, for members of the Comic Book Podcast over comicbooknoise.com/league, and you can send us iTunes reviews on iTunes. So, for Mr. Cassina, I am Mr. Levesey, reminding everybody out there that there's always time for comics.
Time.
time after time for comics.
Puny God.
All right, we're out.
I did a bonus episode. I did remember what I had to say.
Yeah?
Actually. Okay. No, we'll leave it in the back for those people who pay attention and, right, and listen for the bloopers.
All right.
Went to a signing over at Epic Comics for Tony Daniel.
Really?
Yeah, $10 sketches. My buddy and I from work went early. We went after work, got there a little bit early, and luckily got in line because the sketch line was long, and we took us 2 hours to get up there, even though we were 10 and 11, so.
Damn.
Yeah.
What'd you get signed?
I got Detective Comics 1 and 2 and Hawkman number 1 signed, and I got a Flash head sketch.
Nice.
So we talked a little bit about Bart Allen and stuff, and then apparently the Joker is coming back, but they're going to make it kind of a pseudo-event. They're going to build up to him about where he's been and what's up with his face and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's kind of I guess it's being coordinated within the different offices and stuff.
Interesting.
So that's what he told me.
All right. Well,
that's my scoop.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So I guess this will be after the whole Court of Owls stuff, I guess.
Yeah, after that. But yeah. This store, check this out. They had him on a Wednesday. The following Saturday, 3 days later, they had Kenneth Rocafort.
Wow.
Which I didn't go to. May or June, sometime in June, they're having Olivier Coipel come over. So I want to go to that. It's just like boom, 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 boom.
What's the name of the store again?
Epic Comics.
They're on
Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. So I posted my Flash head sketch on there. I don't know if it's on my wall or it's definitely on there somewhere.
I'm glad to see that you found a store that sucks a little less.
Yeah, and they're right across the street from me, so it's really easy to go there after work and stuff to check some things out, flip through some things, attend events, because I live close to a comic shop that's on Bleeding Cool, but they're like 25 minutes away, and I don't know, I don't go up there that often, so it's a little bit, to me, it's more, not really a hassle to drive over there, honestly, but for me, I'd rather go to a place that's on this end of town.
Cool.
A little bit nicer area and stuff like that.
That works.
But I do want to check out a comic shop because apparently they have this thing called the Geek Easy.
Uh-huh.
And it's like a lounge or something. And you can play video games.
Yeah.
And they do their YouTube show from there. And apparently there's like a library. You just go and pick a trade and read.
Wow.
Kind of like people do in Barnes & Noble, except they have more comfy chairs.
Sweet.
So, I don't know. I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah.
And report back.
Well, it's good to have a comic shop that's, you know, so close to you, or at least two that's so close to you, because, like, Jim Hanway's Universe is right down the block from where I work, so, you know, if I ever want to hit a comic shop, that's where I go, because it ain't too far at all from where I be.
Yep.
Oh, God, it was a complete pain in the ass getting home from work during the Stanley Cup playoffs when the Rangers were still in it. Because I would get out of work like right at the time that a game was either starting or ending.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd just be like a deluge of people right by Madison Square Garden. Pain in the arse.
What the pain?
And now I don't have to worry about it anymore because they're out. And that's sad. Oh well.
Wah, wah. But hey, you don't have to worry about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, so cool. There's that back matter for all you people that don't turn it off when the music starts.
Exactly.
Suckers.
Woohoo.
All right. I'm going to go sit in front of air conditioner for a while and feel less sweaty.
Cool off, man. Cool off.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's fucking 85 degrees.
Ex-a-hootie.
Yep. Thank you, pants. I've been liking CGS during the pants era.
I miss Brian Deemer, man. Yeah. I miss him. I miss him so much.
Well, he got his house, so hopefully he'll be back a little more often.
I know. He said he was like an hour away from the studio, though.
Yeah.
So he's a little bit closer to work, but further from CGS Central.
Yep. Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm a little upset with them not having any new episodes this week.
I'm not exactly that upset, because I mean they only do it once a week. They only do recordings once a week, so they get them all out on Monday.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, wells.
But yeah.
All right, so you want to handle anything, or should I?
You can do it, dude. Right. I believe in you.
Okay.
35 minutes in is the recall.
All right. Well, I actually listened to a whole episode, so
I know you do.
I'll definitely cut that out and everything.
I did make a note in my iPad though, in case I volunteered to do it.
Well, good.
But since your work schedule is so flexible, I'm expecting it to be out by Saturday. But that never happens.
Hopefully Saturday or Sunday it should be out. I mean,
You have the con coming up.
Yeah, but that's next week.
Next week.
That's the 8th and the 10th. 8th and the 10th.
Oh, gotcha.
Because Chris is going to a book club on Saturday, and I work from 7 to 10 on Saturday for just a quick 3-hour shift. So I'm not doing anything before then, so I might just try and crack it out Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well,
by work, you mean post your Avengers Alliance codes?
Yes. That's work. Yes. when I'm doing events, that's work, because it's just easy to have my mind do something else while I'm doing work.
I fell into that. I was like, oh, man.
Dude, it's fun. It's really fun. What level are you right now?
16.
Okay. All right.
I still can't. I don't have enough money or points to buy a decent weapon.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I can't figure out how to buy, or I maybe don't have enough money to buy the armor. The new suit of armor, and because my dude still has a katana.
Yeah.
That's about it.
You get there over time. If you have enough friends that play the game, you just click on their icons. You visit their town or whatever it is.
Yeah, I've been doing that.
Okay, good.
Every day at lunch, I'll go on and get a bunch of shield points or whatever. But yeah. You need command points to do anything. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, well,
to get characters and shit.
Yeah, well, that's it. Your best way to do that is to get 5 stars at all the different events. Because you get a gold for 4 stars, and then five command points for 5 stars.
But really, the only way to do that is to level your characters up and then go play the easy episodes where they do like one shot kills, right?
Which is exactly what I did. I got the
silly.
I know, you don't even have to get that far to do the early ones. Like you can get to like level 30 and then go back to the early ones and kick ass.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, dude. I shall talk to you soon. If you come up with any ideas for panels or whatever, just let me know and I'll gather the troops.
Okay.
All right. Later.
Later.
Bye.